Good morning. I want to welcome you to Selma Christ and New Burlington United Methodist Church. My name is Pastor Andy Martin, and I'm so glad that you have joined us this morning on this beautiful Sunday to worship. This day we continue to meet in our homes and in our other places, and we give God thanks, knowing that He is present with us as we have gathered in His name. Today I want to share with you that at the time of this recording, that our plan is to come back together in worship next Sunday, June the 14th. And by now you should have probably received either an email or a letter sharing this good news and sharing about the protocols that will be necessary for us to be able to come back next Sunday. We've been waiting for this day for so long, and we give thanks to God that we can begin to ease back, taking all the precautionary steps to come back together to worship. And as your pastor, I want to encourage you that if you're age 60 or so and over, certainly over the age of 65, or if you have any kind of a health issue or maybe your immune system has been compromised in some way, and just please remain at home for a few more weeks. And if you're not in this higher risk group, please don't feel that you just have to be here on Sunday just because we've opened back up. Listen, we're going to continue to have our services online like this, and so you'll not miss that. And yes, I would love for you to be here. And gosh, I miss you. I miss you all. But what I want is for you to feel comfortable and not concerned when you return back to this place to worship. And God has just blessed us, though, to be able to do that. And so we so much look forward to that next Sunday. Let's pray together this day. Loving God, we thank you and we praise you for your love for us and for you walking with us, especially through all of these hard weeks together. Lord, we've missed one another, and worshiping online has been good, and we thank you for that gift and what it's caused us to be able to allow us to reach out in new ways, and we thank you for that. But Lord, we miss one another, and we do look forward to that time when all of us can come back together and worship together hand in hand and heart in heart. And Lord, we praise you for that ahead of time. Now, Lord, just continue to move in our midst this day. Be present with us in those things that are our concern at home. Some of us, Lord, may be going through a difficult time. Others, Lord, that might be preparing for tests and procedures at the hospital. Others, Lord, who are so worried about family members or finance. And also, Lord, just meet each person where we are, especially those who are lonely, Lord. Just bring your comfort and your care and your peace. And Lord, again, we give you thanks for all your blessings, for the opportunity to be able to worship as we're able to do this day, and for those opportunities that you will give us to worship in our future, Lord. We just love you, and we thank you, and we give you all of our praise. For it's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Well, the scripture that I want to share with you today is a story that comes out of a world that was in great need for Jesus, much like the one in which we live today. There were religious extremists who wanted nothing more than to destroy anyone and everyone different from them. There were those who had great military might that would use its force without reservation, killing women and children and anyone who they perceived as a possible threat. There was great poverty and brokenness in this world, great immoral values. This was a world in great need of Jesus. This was a world, a broken world, in which Jesus needed his church to truly be the church. And so God does this amazing miracle. Jesus, the risen Christ, does this amazing miracle in the life of a man who was known as a religious extremist. His name was Saul, a religious zealot, a Pharisee of Pharisees. But this man's life was about to change. His name would even be changed as God would give him a whole new life, a whole new identity. Saul, the terrorist, was soon to become Paul, the disciple of Jesus Christ. He would soon experience the risen and living Jesus for himself, and his whole life would forever be changed. Listen now to this amazing story of Saul and his conversion. From the book of Acts chapter 9, beginning with verse 1 and ending with verse 20. Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats from every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priests. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for the cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way that he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. As he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. And the voice replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." All the men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but saw no one. Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus. He remained there blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink. Now, there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he replied. And the Lord said, "Go over to Straight Street, to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now. I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so that he can see again." "But Lord," exclaimed Ananias, "I've heard many people talk about the terrible things that this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem. And he is authorized by the leading priest to arrest everyone who calls upon your name." "Oh, but the Lord said, 'Go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings, as well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake.' So Ananias went and he found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road has sent me so that you might again receive sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he regained his sight. Then he got up and he was baptized. Afterward, he ate some food and regained his strength. Saul stayed with the believers in Damascus for a few days, and immediately he began preaching about Jesus in the synagogues, saying, 'He is indeed the Son of God.'" Oh, this is God's word for you, God's people. Praise be to the Lord. Amen. Amen. How amazing. Oh my, how wonderful our loving Lord truly is. How he meets a man who outwardly and who openly is seeking the destruction of God's people, how the risen Jesus meets this man who is going out of his way to bring an end to all who call upon the name of Jesus. And Jesus reveals his light, his words, and his charge to him. This world that was in such great need of Jesus and his way was about to receive a new prophet to be commissioned in the work that Jesus, the living Messiah, was calling him to. This broken and fractured world where followers of Jesus were being hunted down like animals, put in chains and thrown into prison and even stoned to death because of their faith in Jesus, was about to receive a new voice, a new vision of God's work at hand as Jesus calls the one who is persecuting to become the presenter of God's good news in Jesus. How amazing is that? Wow. You know what, when this story is shared in Christian circles, we often speak of it as Paul's conversion, how Paul or Saul was converted on that road to Damascus, how he came to faith as he met the risen and the living Lord who knocked him right on off his donkey and revealed to Paul who he was and what he wanted him to do. And we often think of conversion, this coming to awareness of who Jesus is and welcoming him into our life as meaning that conversion is mainly about me and Jesus. It's mainly about me coming to that saving awareness of Jesus and inviting him in to be the Lord of my life. And truly, this is part of what conversion is about. But by no means is this the full extent, nor is it even close. Oh my, look at Saul's. Just look at Saul's conversion experience. There was no inviting Jesus in on the road to Damascus for Saul. There was only Jesus' voice, Saul's question, and then 3 days of darkness. Paul, or Saul's conversion, took some time. And it didn't come about just because of him and Jesus. There were others involved in this, like those who helped lead him by the hand into the city of Damascus. Those very persons who came opposing the followers of Jesus. And we know that they too heard something on that road, but our scriptures say nothing about these persons and if they came to faith or if they just went on back to Jerusalem and said, "We got a problem." But what the scriptures do show and tell us is that Paul's conversion was spread out over days of darkness, which finally ended when a servant of Jesus by the name of Ananias came and laid hands on him and healed him in Jesus' name. Then Saul was baptized into the faith, but still it wasn't until Paul or Saul stayed with the believers, Jesus' good church folk, that he confirms his conversion as a follower of the way and began his preaching and his proclamation that Jesus is indeed the Son of God. Well, today, I'd like for us to think about this word conversion and what that means for God's people, for you and for me today. What it meant for Saul, who became Paul, and those early Christians, and what it means for our world today. See, this is a word that we usually don't use often, especially with friends or family. I mean, it's a little uncomfortable for us. If you asked your co-worker to come and meet you at church so that they can get converted, they probably wouldn't come, and you might even have a problem at work. If you get all flustered with your spouse who doesn't hardly come to church, and you say, well, you just need converted, that's all, well, that's probably not the most helpful thing for your relationship, and you might even be sleeping by yourself tonight. If you invite your friends over for dinner, and of course you're doing social distancing, you're wearing masks and all that good stuff, and afterwards they say, hey, we brought a movie to watch, and you happen to know that this movie is just a little bit too risque, and you say something like, you know, if you were converted, you wouldn't want to see that. Well, those friends might not be friends for very long. In our post-Christian society, this is just not a word that we use very often, unless we're talking about Adobe or converting Word 2.10 to an earlier version or something like that. But it is a word. It is a Christian concept that we should never let get away from us in the church, because it is the most important experience that can happen in the life of a person. And so in our inner circle, within the church, we should use and understand this concept so it can occur, because it must occur. If the church is going to be here and to make a difference today and tomorrow in our broken world, conversion. There are four components that I'd like to share with you about conversion that we see present in today's text. And these components occur not just in Paul's conversion, but I think in every conversion. And the first is this. Conversion changes us. You get that? Conversion changes us. We're not left the same. When we come to understand who Jesus is, and we seek to align our life to His way, to His teaching, and we become this new creation. Oh, the old is no longer valued as it was, and the new, this new life in Christ, becomes a new focus, a new desire for us. Oh, listen, Saul's old life of seeking to destroy is turned on its head to seeking to bring life to this world in Jesus' name. His focus is no longer to destroy followers of the way, but now he is a follower of the way. And his life does this 180, and all who know him are just amazed at the change that God has brought to him and in him. Oh, listen, personal transformation is the mark of true conversion. Paul is changed over time because of his encounter with the living Jesus. And we too are transformed over time as we come to understand and grow in the knowledge and the love of Jesus Christ. Conversion changes us, and conversion changes all within the community. You know, I've never yet seen someone come to faith in Jesus Christ and not seen the community of faith affected by it. Often it is just contagious. When one comes to that saving realization that Jesus is real, that Jesus is alive and seeks to be in relationship with his people, oh my, often there are others who come to that same life-giving understanding. But so often when one comes to the saving knowledge and receives it, all within the community are changed. All. Michael was one of my young people in senior high youth. His family didn't attend church. He was what we would call a first-generation Christian. But he started coming to my church. He got involved in youth group, and he went to Ichthus, which was a Christian music festival. He started attending about every Sunday, and then one evening at youth group, it happened. Oh, Jesus got through to Michael, and Jesus became very real, and Michael gave his life to Christ. And you know, we as a church, as a whole church, celebrated with Michael. And people started talking, and our community of believers started getting closer. And some folks even started getting more intentional about their walk with Jesus. It even helped us to reach out in some more riskier ways as a church, just because Michael came to faith. And by the time it warmed up enough to baptize Michael out in the lake, well, there were three others to be baptized with him. Oh, conversion changes all within the community, just like it changed Paul and Ananias and those early Christian believers in Damascus and later in Jerusalem, just like it changed my church and Michael. Conversion changes us, not just me, but all. Secondly, conversion empowers us. Okay? Conversion empowers us. We are not left the same. What is remarkable about Saul's conversion is not the drama of his blindness, or even his healing from his blindness, but rather the power of the spiritual life that was born in him. Oh, Paul was a living testimony of the risen Jesus. The one who came to destroy and discredit is now the one full of the empowerment of Christ, proclaiming the truth that Jesus is indeed the Son of God. Oh, when the scales fell from Paul's eyes and he was baptized, the empowerment of God's Holy Spirit fell upon him, and the scriptures make no mention of a voice from above or doves descending or speaking in some strange language or even some mighty act of healing that occurs, showing that Saul had indeed received God's empowerment. Oh no! But his focus in life just changed. That was it. And he was empowered to boldly proclaim and live out his faith that Jesus is God's Son, that Jesus is the Messiah. And this new spiritual life was born in him, and we see the fruit of that by his actions. And for every believer, I believe it is the same. And it is different. Oh, and in our conversion, we are filled. We are empowered by God's Holy Spirit. The power of the spiritual life is born in us. This is the same for all who claim Christ as their own. But what is different is how the Holy Spirit manifests its work and will in our lives. And that, dear friend, is dependent on what God wants to do with the believer. That depends on what God wants to do with you. Conversion changes us, and conversion empowers us for a purpose. It empowers us for a purpose, and that's the first and the second component. Thirdly, conversion also gives us a clear vision. Conversion gives us a clear vision. Paul is converted for a calling, is he not? Paul is empowered with the Holy Spirit to proclaim Jesus is the Messiah to the world, to preach boldly to any and to all who would listen, to debate Gentile or Jew concerning the truth of who Jesus is. Paul is converted for a calling, and that calling wasn't about him or his personal transformation. Oh, Jesus said to Ananias, "You go to Saul, because Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings as well as to the people of Israel." Oh, Paul is converted for a calling, a prophetic calling of proclamation. Oh, it's so easy to just narrow our vision down to just our personal transformation. Somehow thinking that God's vision is just for me, that it's just about, it's just about growing in Him and coming to church and studying His Word. And this we tell ourselves is the vision that God has for me to grow in Him and to focus on my relationship with Jesus. Oh, but listen, hear this if you're going to hear anything else today. Personal transformation should never collapse into sanctified self-absorption. Rather, conversion prepares the believer for performance of concrete tasks in the service of God. Oh my, you were saved not just for you, but for a larger purpose, and that purpose is more than just personal transformation. It is, in fact, for the transformation of the world. Oh, God's vision for us is to transform not just us, but the entire world. It is to use those gifts that God imparts to you in your conversion for the greater good of the family of faith and for the greater of good to those outside the faith community. Just as Saul is converted for a calling, you and I are called as Christians to this same calling, to transform our world for Jesus Christ. Oh, this is the third component in conversion. And the fourth, oh, that really stretches us, because the fourth one is that conversion always stretches us. Conversion always stretches us. It moves us beyond our comfort zone. We see this stretching of Saul, moving him way beyond his comfort zone. First by the blinding vision of Jesus that dramatically reverses his course from persecuting Christians to being cared for by them. And then we see this stretching of Ananias as Jesus calls him to receive Saul as one of his own. Oh, here is Saul who is carrying papers authorizing him to persecute Christians and to drag them back to Jerusalem in chains. And Ananias is called to go and to heal this man and to bring him into the faith community. Oh, conversion moves us beyond our comfort. And no doubt that the community is stretched to receive Saul, now Paul, and not only receive him, but to help to endorse him to others as one of them. Oh, the pattern of stretching here is pervasive for everyone. The stretch is the norm. Those whom Christ truly calls, Christ truly stretches to live and serve beyond their comfort zones or their expectations. Conversion always moves us beyond our comfort. Always. Do you remember your conversion? I want you to think about that. Think about that for a moment. Do you remember that first time that you really came to know that Jesus is real? I hope that remembrance of your conversion popped into your mind sometime during the message today. And I pray that you'll think about it maybe a little bit more this week, and especially these four components of conversion, how conversion changes you. And I hope that you'll think about today and maybe during this week how conversion changed you. How have you seen that in your life? How has conversion changed you? How have maybe you become a new person because of Jesus Christ? I'd like for you to think about how conversion empowers you. How has God and how is God empowering you right now? Think about that. How conversion gives you a clear vision. That is, if you don't get in God's way. what transformational purpose is God leading you to right now? What's God's vision for your life right now? What transformational purpose is God leading you to right now? And fourthly, how conversion always stretches you. It always moves you beyond your comfort zone. It stretches you. So where is God moving you right now? Can you answer that? If you can, I'd like for you to be praying about these four things. Where is God stretching you right now? And if you know where God is stretching you right now, is it a bit unsettling? Chances are, it probably is. Oh, church, how has conversion changed you? How has conversion empowered you? And how is it empowering you? How has it given you clear vision and what that means for you right now? Where is God leading you right now? And how has conversion stretched you? And how is it stretching you right now? Let's pray together as God's people. Loving God, we thank you for how conversion changes us, how it empowers us, Lord. How you give us your clear vision and how that often stretches us. Lord, bring these to our mind this week and help us, Lord, to spend some time with these as we grow in you and as we think of you and as we see you at work in us. And Lord, then bring us back together this next week, being ready to embrace that movement of your Holy Spirit upon our lives, and maybe even being able to share with a brother and sister in Christ, a friend, of some of the things that we've discovered this week as we've thought about how you have brought change and how you have empowered and how you have truly moved us and given us your vision and how you are stretching us. Oh Lord, just draw near to us and help us to draw near to others and to share our stories and to grow together in the faith so that others might be able to one day hear these stories and that we would be bold enough to share our story with others so that others might come to know the love that we experience in you, that might become real for them, just as it became real for Saul on that road to Damascus. Lord, this is what we seek to be about. Help us, Lord, to share your good news. For it's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Go now in the strength and the power and the grace of the God who loves you and who loves all. And may you experience the peace of Jesus Christ. Amen.